Every time you go online, unless you are super, super conscious of security, you leave a little bit of you online. Your interests, your preferences, maybe more depending on the online activity. The concerns about privacy and security are high and seem to stay high. California's governor talked in his first days in office about people getting paid for their data. Let's get some sense of where things stand in digital privacy and security in a visit with Jeffrey Chester, who is the founder and executive director of the Center for Digital Democracy and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Jeffrey, thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Jeffrey.
Give us the broad sketch, if you would, on what the CDD is about.
Well, we were really created in the early 1990s to promote the development of, it sounds wonky, but of media, first then kind of cable television, but then the online medium, to promote it in ways to ensure that it evolved in ways that served democracy, served consumers, was more affordable. You know, when I say this, it's clear that I failed, you know, protect privacy. And we were responsible or partly responsible for a number of things, most notably, you know, the United States' only online privacy law, which is for children, which was passed in 1998. It's still the only law in the books that protects privacy. If you're 12 and under, you have better privacy than anybody else in the United States. And, you know, we were partly responsible for the program that put computers in schools and libraries to make sure that everyone had some kind of access, no matter whether they could afford it or not, things like that. In the last, I think, you know, decade or so, we have been in the forefront of groups critical of Facebook and Google and companies like that, the commercial surveillance system they've put into place, their abuse of their power, their irresponsibility when it came to developing its systems, which I think were reflected in what we now know about the 2016 election. So we're a watchdog group, and we recently opened up an office in Southern California as well. So we're based in Washington and in California now.
I was going to ask you about your view of how things have gone versus the things you were concerned about, and it sounds like pretty much everything you were worried about has come to pass.
I'm afraid so. I mean, I don't think it's a surprise for anybody who's interested in media that, you know, the same problems we had with commercial radio and commercial television and cable television, it's the business model has really shaped the digital environment. But it's an out of control system in the absence of any regulation. I mean, you know, there are regulations if you're 12 and under. Even that, there's not as much enforcement. But the fact that today, you know, a company is able to track you on all the devices you use, identify you as that single person on all of those devices, can reach you in milliseconds on any device, can put you out for bid, which is now the dominant way advertising is sold in the United States and around the world. You're put out for auction, for example, in 200 milliseconds. Who wants the right to buy you, to deliver you a health ad, a financial ad, a junk food ad? The fact that all this analysis goes on to understand your vulnerabilities, your emotional states. We saw all this in Cambridge Analytica, for those of your listeners who obviously remember, the scandal that's now about a year old, that this UK-based company was able to get all this information via Facebook and then target potential voters with micro-targeted marketing, including using information about their emotions, their fears, and concerns. Cambridge Analytica was not unique. It simply reflected how the digital marketplace, led by our friends in Silicon Valley, has developed in the United States and now all over the world.
Jeffrey Chester is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the executive director and founder of the Center for Digital Democracy. We're talking about your data, your right to your data, your right to privacy, and that whole realm of issues that involves surveillance and tracking of you online. 800-838-3760 for your thoughts on where things stand today and where they should go. You can also send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So, Jeff, let's come back to the why. I mean, the United States, you say, only has a privacy law if you're 12 years old and under. There are regulations in Europe, for example, and other countries around the world, other parts of the world. Obviously, Europe is not a country. But why has the United States lagged so much in protection?
Well, I mean, Europe has had rules since 1995, but the new European law that's very strong only went into effect last May, so it's been less than than a year. And I think the situation, more or less, is the same. I think there's at least two reasons. One, and this really goes back to the roots of the commercial, you know, then called World Wide Web, there was a belief, you know, some of it sincere, some of it promoted by the industry and you know, that the Internet would be different than any other medium. The Internet would not need any public policies because, in fact, it would answer all the needs. I mean, that's really at the heart of the origin of the commercial Internet in the early 1990s. Of course, I was around then, we never believed it. So don't regulate it. And then a set of very powerful actors emerge because there's huge amounts of money, right? It's taken a long time, but digital advertising is now the dominant way that advertising is conducted, you know, in the United States and around the world. And, you know, it's just hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars in revenues. And Google and Facebook are nothing more than advertising companies. If you take ad revenue away from those companies, they're out of business. Excuse me. So in the late 1990s, people may remember AOL, and then certainly in the last, you know, 10 years, Google and Facebook and others, they've had a lock on Congress. They've been able to, you know, spend a huge amount of money and have a very significant lobbying presence to prevent any legislation. There's a kind of third reason, which is kind of a combination of the two. There were people like President Obama who, up until, you know, the Cambridge Analytica and Russiagate scandal, kind of protected Google and Facebook. He thought they represented American innovation. That reflected a potential spirit of democratization. Clearly they played an important role, you know, in the Arab Spring initially. And so he looked at them through rose-colored glasses, and his agency protected them. Both parties are to blame here. There's no question about it, in my mind. So, you know, the combination of political power and naivete, I think all your listeners know, members of Congress don't know much about how the thing actually works. This kind of aspiration that, you know, we don't want to censor the Internet and all that, has protected it until now. And you referred to why all of a sudden does Amazon and face Amazon is now the third largest, you know, digital advertising company and huge data collector. Why do the digital giants want privacy legislation now? Two reasons: Europe and California. They are terrified, as you know. Last year California passed a privacy law. It's not as strong as what some of us wanted, but it, you know, it gives Californians greater rights and potentially some more control over it.
Not in effect until January 1st of 2020, though, right?
That's exactly right. But the industry now has decided, they want Congress to pass get us out from California privacy law card, and they are terrified that the states are going to enact tougher regulations that they know that they can get Congress to pass. In other words, they hope that Congress, they now call on Congress. In fact, just today there's a huge lobbying event going on in Washington, where the companies are flooding the halls of the Hill, basically with lobbyists saying, you know, pass legislation, but weak legislation. So they want Congress to pass a law, and it's likely Congress will do that, you know, in the next 2 or 3 years. It's not out of the question that in this session of Congress, the Republicans and Democrats will get together and make a deal, because the industry really wants a law that would, quote unquote, prevent the states from regulating, and also they could show Europe, hey, you may require us to do things your way, but the way we're doing data collection is okay by our government, so give us a pass. It's purely cynical and power politics, but the problem is this: you know, they're capturing our democracy. They have so much information about us and are able to use it in such far-reaching ways. There's no limits because there's been no regulation, and even the California law won't do very much. There's really no limits to what they can collect and how they can use it. Just today, I just heard that Amazon's Alexa which is the so-called smart speaker, which I know is a public radio likes for whatever reason, but is about to become quote unquote HIPAA compliant unquote, which means Amazon's moving into the health information business and is going to have its speaker so it can listen into our conversations related to health, and then ultimately, because Amazon's moving into the health business, sell its products. So they have no limits. And we saw that in 2016, and we're seeing that now in 2020, that the advertising industry is able to use the most cutting-edge tools, not only to collect our information, but to influence our decisions. They're using AI and machine learning that will predict how we will respond. They're able to test it in far-reaching ways to make sure it really works, including triggering our unconscious mind. I'm not making this up. My joke for the last 30 years has been the industry writes my material because I could not possibly make any of this up. This is what they do. So it's just about money for them. It's just about advertising and marketing and revenue generation. No matter what they say, and this is kind of a broad statement, but it's not about democracy for the top leaders, because otherwise they wouldn't do what they do.
We are talking to Jeffrey Chester, the founder and executive director of the Center for Digital Democracy, which has been concerned about all the things that have been happening and what happens to our information, our data online. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone. Send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So what kinds of things can we do? Because when I look at things like some of these data breaches that take place where people's information is exposed, if not actually expropriated, it's not necessarily information that people volunteer. They just ended up in a database because they belong to some organization or signed up for some service.
Well, that's true. And one way I guess I'd like to talk about it, because I think it does bring it home, hopefully for listeners, is this. I mean, a more recent development has been that, the information, your loyalty card information at your grocery store, for example, is now merged with online information about you. The leading grocery store chains, and certainly the big box stores, people, when they go into a Walmart or a Kroger, you can name, they don't really know that these companies are sharing your information or combining information so that they're able to get to you offline and online, what you buy, what you browse, what you read. And now, because of geolocation technologies, the mobile phone has been the biggest advance in terms of the surveillance economy, because now they're able literally to track you down to, a few blocks. And they talk about, the advertisers and marketers talk about knowing your geographic history, where you go. Do you go to the school? Do you go to the playground? And companies are able to establish, quote-unquote, geofences, these invisible perimeters around certain buildings, like restaurants or malls, and when you drive through, walk through, all of a sudden your phone sends a signal. It's telling them that you're there. They know you're there. They can track you and all that.
True enough, I forgot to turn my location services off the other day, and I made a rare visit to the Rogue Valley Mall, and then pretty soon I had the message, how was your experience at the Rogue Valley Mall?
Right, right. See, I don't think it's practical for people to have to, it's no, to control all of this. First place, everyone's going to have to agree to give up some information anyway, the way the system works, because who doesn't want the discount, or who doesn't want to know, how do I get to the pharmacy, or how do I get to the gas station, or the doctor, you name it. So for example, those who use Waze, I'm sure people know, Waze is part of Google. They work with McDonald's, they work with political groups. They're tracking and targeting you, et cetera. And you just can't turn it on and turn it off. It's just not practical. The default should be really, very minimal in collection, and not using all this data for your profile, and certainly not creating this kind of mass profile that's then shared with others in a way so that other marketers can target you. And you've also seen, as you said, they're collecting so much information. They're spending so much money collecting the information. They're not spending enough money protecting the information, which is why you have all these huge breaches from Equifax and others. So it's a real problem. And the question now is, will Congress stand up? I hate to bring it down to kind of politics, but I think we're at a critical decision point, because they're going to pass some legislation in the next year or two. And, you know, who knows where the Democrats are? Some of them have been good, but, you know, they're under the influence. The Republicans, more or less, they're critical of Google and Facebook. In fact, there's going to be a hearing next week in the Senate about, based on kind of Republican concerns, that the digital media is as biased against conservative causes. But at the end of the day, you know, it's unlikely they're going to want to regulate in an effective way unless the public speaks out.
So let me ask about that part of it, Jeff, because it seems like there's a fair amount of meh from the public about their information being in other people's hands.
Yeah, I mean, there's a researcher at the University of Pennsylvania who's done probably the foremost kind of, you know, survey research, a guy named Joe Turow. For the last, you know, 5-6 years, when he does these surveys of people's attitudes towards privacy, he says, you know, the what people are saying is that they've given up, that they're worn out. They know it's a problem, but they can't do anything about it. I don't think people understand the depth of the problem. Maybe I'm that's not the case. But you know, I think if they knew more about their health information, their children's information, their financial information, how it's collected, what it means, how it's used, people would be concerned. But there hasn't been, you know, because Congress hasn't looked at it very well. And it is, you know, very technical in some way. And the company, you still have to use Facebook and Google for the most part every day. You know, so you know you can't give them up. There's not been the kind of exposés that we need to have, I think, about what the problems are in the system. I think people will care. And surveys have shown that younger people in their late teens and 20s, do care about their privacy when asked. So.
Just about a minute before we have to go, Jeff, I want to ask about California and Gavin Newsom, the new governor, pitching the idea of a data dividend, the idea that there's value in your data. You should be paid for it. How does that run across your radar screen?
I have given that, two thumbs down. Look, do you really want to, for a few bucks a month, I mean, that's at the most, do you really want to give up all your information? I mean, there's a term for this. It's not perfect, but it's called pay for privacy. And basically, the phone and cable companies, the ISPs, like this idea especially. You're worried about privacy? You know, okay, we'll give you a discount. But, you know, but that's going to condone the system that's at work. And we shouldn't. And one reason, you know, things are so expensive is that, you know, they want to make money off of us and get the right advertiser who's willing to pay more. And I mean, look, we should have our privacy protected. We should not have this trade-off of our privacy for a small kind of, you know, economic incentive. They shouldn't be collecting as much as they do in the first place. I think the governor's notion is kind of is naive. He will open the floodgates for even more information being collected about us, our families, communities, etc. So protect our privacy, and then if people want to make individual deals based on the fact that their privacy is protected from the get-go, that's okay. But don't open up the floodgates to a further erosion of our personal information and the ability to use it in ways where there's no accountability.
Well, we'll see if the idea gains any traction in California, where it was proposed. And California does have the Data Privacy Protection Act taking effect, or at least scheduled to take effect on January 1st of 2020.
Companies are lobbying right now in Sacramento to weaken it significantly. So.
All right. Yeah, then we'll keep an eye on Congress as well to see if they try to preempt it. Jeff Chester is the founder and executive director of the Center for Digital Democracy. Thank you for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.